Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. Telling you what, Decked is a game changer. Decked has completely changed how I load, organize my truck. All my stuff that I want is always in there, out of my way, and secure. It's perfect. If you own a pickup truck that you use, you know, like a truck, the Decked drawer system gives you weatherproof storage for all your gear. You can lock it up, too. You keep your tools and gear organized, job site or out in the field. Go to Decked.com/meateater to receive free shipping. Go to Decked.com/meateater. Get yourself some free shipping.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Steve Rinella, Giannis Patelis, Chester Floyd, Seth Morris, Corey Calkins, Corinne Schneider, and special guest Dan Flores. Now, Dan, you're an educated fella and very accomplished in academia, but how do you feel about trivia?
I don't feel so good surrounded by you guys. I think you guys are going to be better at this than me.
No, I think so?
I don't think that.
Steve was just talking you up here before we started recording.
Yeah,
he thinks you have a chance.
Well, he's an academic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the guy gets paid to sit around and read.
That helps. That puts you in a good position. Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking.
Can you plug Dan's new book real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. You do it for me.
Dan is here because we just did an interview for the Meat Eater podcast about his new book, Wild New World, The Epic Story of Animals and People in America. And it's available now, so go check it out.
I love it. What what time period does that focus on?
60 million years.
It actually begins with the asteroid impact 66 million years ago.
So no dinosaurs in the book.
No dinosaurs.
Okay. He dispatches them within a page or two.
Yeah, not even a page, a sentence.
and then it ends yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
The day he quit writing the book.
Yeah. I like that. I wish there was more dinosaurs, but I'm sold. I like it. Now, there is a prize for the winner. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And each week here on Trivia, we reveal a new stat. This week, we are looking at the first question of every game, which is always multiple choice. Leo Anneking wrote in to say that him and his best friend in middle school decided that if they didn't know the answer to a multiple choice question on a test, they'd answer C. Well, if I was their teacher, they'd be at the top of the class because of how often C is the correct answer. Here's the breakdown. 24% of the time in Meat Eater Trivia, A is the right answer. B is correct 21% of the time. C is correct 34% of the time. And D is correct 21% of the time. So just like Leo did in middle school.
So you have a tendency to bury the correct answer at the third.
At C, 34% of the time.
Now, I would bet that that's going to wildly correct.
Yeah. Course correction.
It's going to wildly correct.
Or maybe that's what you think. Oh. And it's going to keep being C.
Yeah.
What was the lowest one?
It goes A, 24%. B, 21%, C, 34%, D, 21%.
I could see him doing this, though. I could see him being like, well, I'm not going to use C anymore.
Uh-huh.
Then I could see him saying, well, everybody's going to know that, so I am going to use C. And then I could see him saying, but everybody's going to know that.
That's right.
It's like Wallace
so
Shawn
I'm
in the
not gonna use
in the Princess Bride when they're trying which cup is poisoned.
That's right.
So, I think now Leo was pointing out that I have gone against randomness by making C the correct answer so often. But I think that is more random than not because of what you just said, Steve. It's going to create some great tension with these multiple choice questions. But if you're not sure going forward, answer C because there's a better in 1 in 3 chance that that's the right answer. Now, we have some housekeeping to get to on trivia before we get started. On a previous episode of trivia, I said that the Bass Pro Pyramid in Memphis was built in 1954. About a dozen listeners wrote in to let me know that it was actually conceived in 1954. Construction started in 1989.
It's a long gestation period.
And it was finished in 1991.
What happened between 54 and 89?
Well, can you imagine trying to build a pyramid? Take some time. Also, in a previous game, I asked what 3 states never had wolves extirpated from them. The correct answer was Alaska, Minnesota, and Michigan. A few listeners wrote in who took issue with this question, though. First, there was a group of listeners who said North Carolina should be considered correct because of the red wolf population there. To their credit, there are about 20 wild red wolves that live there, but the source of those animals was a breeding facility that rounded up the last remaining red wolves in southeastern Texas and southwestern Louisiana. In 1980, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service actually declared red wolves extinct in the wild. So, all red wolves were extirpated from various states at some point, despite there being an established population today. With that said, North Carolina would not be a correct answer. Okay, and then there is a second group.
You've been Newhart.
There is a second group of Meat Eater Trivia listeners who found a loophole in the question that might have some merit. Here's their argument. Since Hawaii never had wolves, they couldn't technically be extirpated, therefore making Hawaii a correct answer. Now, I wouldn't count it, and I think that's outside of the spirit of the game, but I'll leave it up to the room to decide. Do you guys think Hawaii would be a correct answer?
If I picked it,
yeah.
I could see making some smart-ass play like that and then really arguing it, but I would put my energy toward what I imagined. To be the correct answer.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you were to ask what states didn't have wolves extirpated from them, technically Hawaii did not have wolves extirpated from them. But I don't know if it's then not possible to be extirpated if it was never there.
Did more than one...
About a dozen people wrote in.
About the Hawaii thing?
Yeah, yeah, it was a hot topic. And I'm sure for every 12 that write in...
Smarty pants is out there.
Yeah, there's 100 that just didn't want to bother.
Damn.
If they can't extirpate them because they were never there, you'd think it wouldn't be Hawaii.
I don't know. I'm glad it didn't come up in the room because I'd have been stumped.
That almost wind up at the Supreme Court.
I think you're right. Now, the Shelby Index for this game of trivia is a 4, so today's winner should get about 8 correct answers. And with that, we are on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1, the topic is fishing. How far is a league? Is it 3.5 feet, 3.5 yards, 3.5 kilometers, or 3.5 miles? How far is a league? 3.5 feet, 3.5 yards, 3.5 kilometers, or 3.5 miles. You know this one, Steve?
Ask me in a minute.
Okay. Now, Dan, I don't trust everyone in this room, so I'd hide your answers
than that. Good Lord, man. He just got it laid right out.
That's confidence.
And well, he's still showing me. And he wrote it super fast, so much so that it's shaking my confidence.
Does everybody have an answer? Again, we're looking for how far is a league? 3.5 feet, 3.5 yards, 3.5 kilometers.
Don't let Steve change.
Yeah, I changed it.
3.5
miles. I changed it. Because he wrote it cockily. He wrote it cockily and then showed it to me.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying 3.5, what does that say, miles?
It did.
3.5 kilometers. Dan saying 3.5 kilometers. Corey, 3.5 miles. Chester, 3.5 kilometers. Corinne, 3.5 kilometers. Seth, 3.5 yards. And Giannis, 3.5 kilometers.
So, Seth, you think Jules Verne's is 20,000 leagues under the sea was not that deep?
That's still pretty deep.
That's really deep.
Well, I calculated it once, and I realized that he was out the other side of the earth and halfway to the moon.
The correct answer is 3.5 miles.
I knew it couldn't be sea.
It wasn't going to be sea. That.
So Steve wrote miles, saw Dan's answer, which was written with confidence, and then changed it.
And I just calculated this because when I was reading about the Coronado Expedition, everything was in damn leagues, and I had to go look it up.
That's why you got to go with your gut, Steve.
Oh, man.
Go with your gut.
Why'd you write it down so fast?
Yeah, Dan, this is your fault.
You didn't think about it.
A league is 3.5 miles or 3 nautical miles. Here's why this measurement is confusing to people. In the book 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea,
I should be able to go back to what I had because you shouldn't be allowed to cheat. Do you know what I mean?
That's right.
And like, I cheated.
So you got to go back to your original.
Like, that shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, the last.
And you've learned your lesson.
I want to go back to my pre-cheat answer. It's the right thing to do.
You might get DQ'd for cheating.
I was just saying, you should just be disqualified for this round.
Get him out of here.
The last time I saw a board, we had to flip a coin for which answer.
Okay, let's do that. That's fine.
Now, here's why this measurement is confusing to people. In the book 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, it's referring to a journey spanning a horizontal distance traveled under the surface of the water.
Oh, it is?
Not a journey that went to a depth of 20,000 leagues. The deepest part of the ocean is only about 2 leagues. So, if you were to travel 20,000 leagues deep, you would come out the other side of the earth and make it about one-third of the way to the moon.
The book refers to how far they went once they got underwater?
Yes, because it was like ahead of its time, a submarine that they were hunting this sea creature, which I think was like depicted as a narwhal or something. It wasn't to a depth of that far. It was underwater, traveling 20,000 leagues.
Wow.
Horizontally.
I did not know that. That's good information.
And that's why it's confusing to people. And that's why I wouldn't blame Seth for thinking it was feet or yards.
Can I hit you with a trivia question?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I was reading a book last night.
And you have it written on your hand now?
And I learned a word that I liked so much, I wrote it on my hand. You know when you have an alluvial deposition, meaning like sediment from a river?
Sure.
Do you know what they call it when it's a wind deposition?
No.
Aeolian.
Aeolian, that's right. Yeah.
That's a hell of a word.
That's good. What would be an example?
A sand dune.
Okay.
Is an aeolian deposition.
You going to work that into your vocabulary now?
That's why I wrote it on my hand.
Question two, the topic is cooking. This is our Work Sharp listener question of the week, which was won by Scott Waller. For sending this great question, Scott is going to get a Work Sharp care package that includes 3 of our favorite knife sharpeners.
That's
if
great.
You want a chance to win the listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com.
That's awesome.
What Yiddish term describes the rendered fat from geese and turkey?
I also want to be sex, because I know that. Hit it again.
What Yiddish term describes the rendered fat from geese and turkey? Now enlighten me, Steve. You were hoping it would be the Yiddish term for sex?
I think I know what it is. My buddy uses it.
Are we going to have to bleep
Shtuk.
This?
Is that Yiddish, Kryn?
Everything with a shh. It's gotta be Yiddish.
Again, what Yiddish term describes the rendered fat?
Like those
from
dogs
geese
were those dogs
turkey.
Were shtucking.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
The Yiddish term that describes rendered fat from geese and turkey.
I'm back in the game, buddy.
Does everybody have an answer?
I'm back in the game.
Corey, you good? Chester?
I would be sitting on that. If Dan hadn't done what he did, I would be sitting right now on two.
If I hadn't done it.
I would be sitting on two right.
I didn't force you to look over my shoulder.
Does that surprise you that Steve would cheat like that?
No.
No. It seems on brand. Does everybody have an answer?
I am in classes.
Uh-huh. So it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying schmaltz. Dan without an answer, Corey without an answer, Chester now, without an answer.
Yeah, and I know there's Grin a no spelling.
Schmaltz. Seth without an answer, and Yanni saying schmaltz, or he said schmutz.
No, that's not what Yanni said. Schmutz. And I know spelling doesn't count against you, but schmutz?
The correct answer is schmaltz. We'll give it to you, Yanni.
You're going
to
give him schmutz?
It's like schmuck, but with a little schmutz. Extra flair
you
on
it. You don't have to give it to me.
Well, how would have you said it? Did you think it was schmutz, or did you think it was schmutz? We're not going to give it to you. Yeah, we're not going to give it to you.
If there was an L in there, but it was misspelled, I'd say yeah, but...
Schmutz.
In a 2019 article on TheMeatEater.com...
I just took schmuck and messed around
You were close.
It.
You were close.
No, super close.
In a 2019 article on TheMeatEater.com, Danielle Pruitt tried turning a wild turkey sponge into schmaltz. She was successful and described the end result as rich in flavor and a good addition to turkey stock. For more on that process, read her article called Is a Turkey Sponge Edible? Question 3, the topic is predators. What do you call a female coyote? Dan, this would be the bone that I'm throwing to you.
Oh,
what
boy.
Do you call I'm gonna female coyote?
Look over because she likes to share his answers with
wow,
his neighbors.
Actually, that's not that big a bone.
This didn't come up in all of your workings on coyotes?
Not really.
What do you call a female coyote? A quick answer from Steve. The rest of the room doesn't seem as confident.
Seth, I'm surprised you don't know this one. I don't know it, but... I'm surprised you don't.
Man.
I've never heard anyone call a female coyote.
I got two.
Specific.
I wish I could put two down.
Just looking for one. Corey, you seem confident. You had an answer quick.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Fairly.
You know, if the game ever gets real stale, it might be an interesting thing to add in that you could get half points by putting two things down.
But what if you get the second one wrong?
I don't know. I'm saying, let's say you ask for thing like you're asking for a answer. And I'm like, I know it's either, let's say the answer you're looking for is A, and I know it's either A or B, and I can't decide. I could go for a half C.
You Googling it?
By putting A and B down.
No.
Okay. Maybe.
Just keep in mind.
Does everybody have an answer for what you call a female coyote? Chester, you ready?
Nope.
Dan, you got one?
I've got one, but it's just a wild guess.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying vixen.
Or bitch.
Dan saying vixen. Corey saying bitch.
Same
Chester
thing as
without
a,
an answer.
Same thing as a fox.
Corinne saying a Susie. Yeah. Seth saying a sow. And Giannis saying a bitch.
Same thing as a fox,
We
huh?
have a correct answer in the room, and it's bitch.
Oh!
It's common to call a male coyote a dog or boar and a juvenile coyote a pup. Other animals that use the bitch moniker include domestic dogs, wolves, foxes, and otters. A bitch.
Should have thought of that.
Because is a vixen, that must be just
a fox.
Just a fox, huh?
A bitch.
This is your game, Corey. I feel it.
How you doing, Corey?
Two for three?
Really?
So you got that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Question 4, the topic is archaeology. This is a visual question. If you want to see what the room is seeing, then go to Instagram and check out @SpencerNewharth. I'll make it my most recent post. In my hand is an ancient tool that shares its name with a Star Wars character. What is this tool? In my hand is an ancient tool that we're now passing around, and this tool shares its name with a Star Wars character. What is this tool?
What is a tool's name?
What is the tool's name?
You didn't find that, did you?
I'll explain in the in the follow-up factor.
That could be used for a lot of things.
I wouldn't mind having that.
Star Wars character.
I have a couple of those.
You have one?
Yeah. Two.
What
Not
part
like
of the,
that.
Chester has one.
Really? What part of the country they come from?
Montana.
New Mexico and South America.
Beautiful.
And what is it now?
I bought one at a New Mexico curio shop, and then a guy in South America who was like Amerindian, native South American, gave it to me and said it was from the ancient ones.
One more time here. This is an ancient tool that shares its name with a Star Wars character. What is the tool?
That is an impressive specimen, man.
How big are yours?
A six that size?
Yeah, they're like that, right? Yeah. The ones we got?
Does everybody have an answer? Does anybody know this? Steve, you seem as though you know.
I'm a big Star Wars.
I don't.
I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I'm a big Artifact fan.
Are you a big Star Wars fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else know this answer?
I was a little kid, you know.
Can you give me initials?
Maybe.
You threw me off with Star Wars character.
Yeah, me too. That's the part that I can't.
Well, I used to have the guy.
Oh. And well, Steve has shared that it's a male Star Wars character.
It's a Princess Leia.
Steve is fondling the
tool. I just don't know Star Wars characters, so.
You want to know a very early, I was going to tell you a very early memory of mine. I remember pulling up to the Harbor Theater.
Where's that at?
In Michigan, where I grew up. Far away. It was like the closest theater you could go to was Harbor Theater. And I remember pulling up and saying, "That says The Empire Strikes Back." And my brother saying, "You can't read that. You just know what it says." I was that little.
And you don't think you could read it? You think your brother was right?
I just think I had it memorized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does everybody have an answer as to what this tool is called? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying a hammerhead. Dan saying a mortar pestle. Corey saying a Kenobi. Chester saying, what's that say, Chester? A Yoda. Corinne saying an Ewok. Seth saying a Skywalker. Giannis saying a hammer.
Ewok.
Nobody got it right.
Bullshit.
The correct answer is Maul.
A Maul.
Oh, Darth Maul.
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul. That's the character.
That. I'm not talking about those Star Wars. I'm talking about the first ones that came out.
And there is no character called Hammerhead.
he had that crazy head.
Or a mortar pestle, I don't think.
No, a Maul. Now, this Maul was found by my father-in-law in one of his cattle pastures in South Dakota. A study from the University of South Dakota gathered data from 100 Mauls randomly selected from a museum's collection. They found that the average Maul weight was 5 pounds. This one my father-in-law found is nearly 8 pounds, making it an exceptionally large Maul. These were multi-use tools that archaeologists speculate were used to dispatch wounded bison by smashing their skull, crush animal bones to gather marrow, pulverize acorns to make flour, and tether horses to homes.
And Steve, I know you're probably Googling it right now. There's a character in the cantina who does have like a head. I know you're talking about, but his name is not Hammerhead.
You know, his name is Mornaw Naden.
So, see, that's news to me.
Phil, would you have...
He's got a head like a hammer. This is one I might leave. This is the worst game I've ever had. I think his Dan's here shook me up.
Making you nervous?
Yeah, but I haven't gotten one right yet.
Does Maul sound familiar to you, though?
Like,
When I hear Star Wars, I think the original ones that came out.
Okay. Darth Maul is the guy who gets chopped in half by Obi-Wan in the Phantom Menace.
Yeah,
falls down the big hole.
Isn't I don't know Star Wars
robot legs.
Darth Maul just short one.
Darth Vader with his helmet off?
No, it's a whole different character.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember him on Pepsi cans as a kid. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing
very
I know.
Very distinct.
Darth
he's got
from.
That red and black painted face with like the
red,
spikes on it on his head.
And he was kind of short.
I don't think they should even have come out with those ones.
Now, what do you think, like, Steve, when you look at that tool, what do you imagine folks using that for?
Smash and shit. I would look at it and I'd have to ask Matt and Aaron. I would look at this and think that it had been hafted.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Like that it had been hafted on a forked stick.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, they think, okay, so this was a haft. Yeah.
When you see ones that heavy, you also see like drawings where you put it in their hands and like tie leather around their hands so that they wouldn't lose their grip and they could smash whatever they were doing.
Yeah. I would have pictured that being like from that's a braided in there in order to be hafted. But then if you put that on a handle, that's a hell of an implement.
8 pounds. It's a lot to swing around.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Like a sledgehammer.
Question 5. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Brandon Kennan. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What is the name of the misshapen proteins that cause chronic wasting disease? What is the name of the misshapen proteins that cause chronic wasting disease? And we will get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. A confident Steve. Seems like most of the room is pretty confident on this one.
Nope. I've never seen that look that's on Corinne's face before.
Uh-oh. Because she knows it or doesn't know it.
Because I never get anything right.
Does everybody have
Spencer
an answer?
Gives me the answers on April Fool's Day.
Corey?
Drawing a blank.
What is the name of the misshapen proteins that cause chronic wasting disease? Chester, you know this one?
I should, but I don't think so. Mm. I'm doing real bad this round, Spencer.
It's okay. We'll get a scoreboard update after this. Corey, writing down an answer?
Sure.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying prion, Dan saying prion, Corey saying prion, Chester saying without an answer, Corinne, Seth, and Giannis all saying prions. They got it. The correct answer is prion.
Pulled that one out of the back.
The CWD Research and Management Act has a chance to be passed this year. If that happens, it'll authorize $70 million to fund CWD research and management. If you want to help get this bill over the finish line, then go to themeateater.com and read It's Time to Get the CWD Bill Done by Charlie Boer. It'll explain what the bill is and how you can and who you can contact to show your support. Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Sure thing. Well, we have Chester with 0 points. He's fighting hard, though. Looks good doing it. We've got Seth and Dan with 1 point apiece. Steven Ranella has 2 points, along with Giannis and Corinne. And in first place, it's Corey. Three points.
Hey now. Oh, it's anybody's game.
Calkins.
Yeah, it's still.
Oh, I was feeling defeated.
Easy, bud.
Man.
Question six.
I mean, no disrespect.
That's all right.
The single most valuable tool I have for chasing turkeys next to my scatter gun is the Onyx Hunt app. If I'm hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. If I'm not hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. I'm always using Onyx. I live by that stuff. I can't tell you the number of birds this app has put me on by allowing me to easily find new areas to hunt. It's invaluable. I use it all the time. Even properties I know super well. And I'm at my buddy Bubbly Doug's house. I'm using Onyx, and I've hunted this place a million times. With their compass mode, I can pinpoint exactly on the map where a gobble rang out from and then figure out the perfect spot to set up. Meaning, if I'm sitting there, let's say I'm at Bubbly Doug's and I'm in the navel and I hear pow, I'll like instinctively pull up Bubbly Doug's place on X and I'll look at the topography and I'll be like, oh, that sucker must be over in that little opening over there. Waypoints also, and the ability to share them, okay, comes in handy every spring. Whether that's revisiting old waypoints where I've been on birds before or sharing them to buddies to help put them on birds, this app will help you find more turkeys. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you too. Use code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt this turkey season. Hey, I'm excited to share our newest sponsor here on the Meat Eater podcast, which is Poncho Outdoors. The reason I'm excited is I buy their shirts anyways. I rarely go into stores to buy clothes. I just buy my stuff online. And I love their shirts. Max, that I work with, Max Bard, who comes on the podcast one day, I don't know if he sent me a link to this place. I went on and bought some shirts. Dude, they make some good shirts. And they even have an option where if you're like a skinny dude, you can click like the skinny dude thing and get like a whole different cut of the shirt. It's great. Based in Austin, Texas, Poncho is committed to crafting the world's best outdoor shirts for men. They got it started out with a lightweight fishing shirt. Now they make all kinds of other lines. Western, denim, flannel, corduroy. Better fitting. Not all baggy. Better performing because they got modern fabrics with some stretch and breathability. And way comfortable. Poncho is only sold on their own website. So head over to ponchooutdoors.com. Use code MEATEATER for a free hat or t-shirt with any purchase of a shirt. Poncho offers free shipping and returns, so you can try them out risk-free. Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside. Planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing. Taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times. I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance. And man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
Question 6. The topic is public lands. What large gathering is held every September at the Black Rock Desert Wilderness in Nevada? Steve, writing an answer before I even finish.
Well, I erased that one.
Oh, okay. What large gathering is held every September at the Black Rock Desert Wilderness in Nevada? Seth and Yanni know this one.
I don't know it.
Oh.
I know a gathering on public lands.
Mm-hmm.
The wilderness thing. The wilderness thing throw me off.
What large gathering is held every September at the Black Rock Desert Wilderness in Nevada?
Let's just keep the
But we've covered
now.
A lot of big gatherings on the podcast in the last year on public lands.
Okay.
That's my disapproving noise.
Seth is maybe changing. Nope.
Was all the chit chat changing your mind, maybe?
No, I didn't change. I wrote it and put it down.
Does everybody have an answer about what that large gathering is called? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Burning Man. Dan saying Burning Man. Burning Man. Chester saying
Mountain Man Rendezvous.
Mountain Man.
That sounds way more fun.
And a lot of laughing at Chester's expense.
That's where my head went immediately.
Burning Man.
And Seth saying Burning Man. Giannis, what was your answer?
Burning Man.
And Giannis saying Burning Man.
When I started right, it was Rainbow Reunion.
Can you read that question one more time?
Here's the question. What large gathering is held every September at the Black Rock Desert Wilderness in Nevada? The room got it right. It is Burning Man.
Yeah, the Mountain Man Rendezvous moves around.
Yeah.
I know probably what you're thinking is how can they do that in a wilderness? Is it in the wilderness?
Well, it's just, that's like its designation. It's the Black Rock Desert Wilderness. The Black Rock Desert Wilderness, where Burning Man is held, is owned by the Bureau of Land Management. The event has taken place there since 1990 and will stay there for this foreseeable future. In 2019, the BLM issued a 10-year permit to Burning Man, which costs about $3 million annually. It's estimated that 87,000 people gathered for the burn in 2022, setting a new attendance record. 87,000 people.
Has anybody in this room attended?
We have somebody in production who helps organize a Montana Burning Man.
Yep.
Yeah. But I don't know.
I know of this person.
I'd love
they haven't been yet themselves, I don't think.
I don't know. Would love to see it. Question 7. The topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via our very own Brody Henderson. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com.
We worked very closely together.
Let's see, Brody.
What is the largest member of the freshwater sunfish family? What is the largest member of the freshwater sunfish family?
That's a good question.
Oh, that is.
Big Steve might be pulling in the lead. No, I should be caught up.
Do you know, Chester?
Just a guess.
I like how Corey looks right now.
How's he look?
Not loving it.
Okay. What is the largest member of the sunfish family?
Well, while we're all thinking about this, no one cares about this but me. I'm going to go back to Star Wars for half a second.
Oh, no problem.
Steve, I'm going to give you some credit because I think there's a scene in E.T., the extraterrestrial, where Elliot is showing off his Star Wars figures to E.T., and he pulls off that alien we were just talking about. He says, "This is Hammerhead."
Oh, is that where I got that?
I think so. That just popped into my head. If it's not in there, I'm going to cut this out. But for the three of you who are going to send me an angry DM, I'm putting that to bed
and
right
that,
now.
And that was on E.T.
That's
referring to Star Wars.
Does that get me back to having my point?
That's up to Spencer.
That's a wildly deep cut that you're going for. One more time. What is the largest member of the freshwater sunfish family? Corey doing more writing. Does everybody have an answer?
Sure.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying largemouth bass. Dan saying bream. Corey saying crappie. Chester saying largemouth bass. Corinne saying a skate.
What?
Seth saying bluegill. Giannis saying largemouth bass. We have a correct answer in the room. It's largemouth bass.
Oh, boy.
The sunfish family includes popular panfish like bluegill, green sunfish, and pumpkin seed, as well as game fish like largemouth bass, smallmouth bass, and spotted bass.
We're on a three-way tie.
At just over 22 pounds, the world record largemouth is twice as heavy as the world record smallmouth or world record spotted bass.
Can you imagine a 22-pound largemouth bass?
Just gluttonous.
Just the bucket mouth on that thing.
Yeah.
Big.
It's always like a little bit grotesque when you see a really fat perch. You're like, how does that thing swim?
Yeah.
That's how a giant bass like that looks. It makes you question like their ability to
catch. You could probably put his
catch.
Lips around your head.
Yeah. Big. Question 8. The topic is cooking. What day of the week is Thanksgiving in Canada? What day of the week is Thanksgiving in Canada?
I'm going to do my impression of Brody if he were here right now. You ready?
Yeah.
Spencer, what category is this question in again?
This is cooking because it's one of the biggest feast days of the year, whether you're in USA or Canada.
Got it. Okay, I was just making sure.
One out of seven chance here, Dan.
Thank you, Phil.
Good heavens.
What
true.
Day of the week is Thanksgiving in Canada? This
like,
is a like, cooking question.
It's like Dan wants me to cheat.
I hope this is a trick question.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will see.
Everybody have an answer. Steve, how do you feel about Dan's answer?
I'm looking at you because I'm trying not to look at everything he writes because I made that mistake once already.
Mm-hmm. Trying to play a clean game.
What would be funny, Dan, is if you wrote "Suck it, Steve" on your board.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Friday, Dan saying Thursday, Corey saying Friday, Chester saying Thursday, Corinne saying Sunday, Seth saying Friday, Giannis saying Thursday.
What'd you write, Corey?
Friday.
Nobody got it right. The correct answer is Monday.
It is?
Oh,
Monday. What do they call it?
What about in a leap year?
Just Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Wow.
Since 1957, Thanksgiving Day in Canada has been the second Monday in October. A 2022 poll showed that, similar to America, the most consumed foods on Thanksgiving Day in Canada are turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, and oatmeal cookies.
See, they're not too different from us.
I think that question ranks up there with your El Dente question as being so far afield.
You didn't like El Dente?
No, it's just like it's like
I liked El Dente.
Well, it's not that I don't I like El Dente pasta as much as the next guy. I'm just saying that question. I just don't understand what it's doing in this show.
What will you be having on Thanksgiving this year? You think?
Whatever I make.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be some wild game involved.
I think it's
there we go. It's very much tied in to our four verticals. Phil, we have two questions left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Yes. Out of the game with 1 point. It's Chester. Thanks for playing. We got Seth and Dan with 2 points apiece. Corinne with 3. And Steve, Giannis, and Corey are tied in first place with 4 points.
4 points.
Corinne. 3?
Corinne.
Question 9, the topic is biology. This next great question comes to us via Robert Robinson. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What color are animals that have the xanthrochroism condition? What color are animals that have the xanthrochroism condition? Nobody knew this one right off the bat. Dan seems to have the quickest answer in the room.
Props to Shelby, is all I got to say.
Shelby scored four.
Wow. Four.
Because this is a hard-ass trivia.
Can you give me the name again?
Xanthrochroism. X-A-N-T-H-O-C-H-R-O-I-S-M. Xanthrochroism. What color are animals that have xanthrochroism? Yanni, how you feeling about this?
It's, you know, how many colors are there in the rainbow? Out of that many chances.
I would go with the, if I could do the halvesy thing I was recommended, I'd go for halvesies right now. It'd be like when you're playing football and you try to kick a field goal.
Did Dan write an answer down quick?
He did.
He did, but he's about to erase it.
Oh, man. Does everybody have an answer? Xanthrochroism.
I'm about to have one. Okay.
I might change my shit up.
I feel like
it. Let me know when you're ready.
Okay. I'm ready.
I'm not changing my shit.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying white. Dan saying black. Corey saying white. Chester saying white. Corinne saying black. Seth saying red. Giannis saying red. Nobody got it.
Come on, red. Oh.
The correct zebra answer stripe. Is yellow or orange.
Oh my God, I wasn't even close. Wow.
Xanthrochroism is a condition where all skin pigments other than yellow and orange disappear. It's been observed in woodpeckers, cardinals, horned toads, pythons, largemouth bass, and most recently, a crappie that was caught in Missouri that made national news. Wow. It's considered one of the rarest color-based mutations in the world.
There you have it.
That's why nobody knew.
Question 10. Nothing on the scoreboard has changed, but who do we have left in it, Phil?
Now it's down to Corey, Giannis, Steve, and Corinne.
Okay.
Who has three?
We need Corinne to get it right, the rest of the room to get it wrong. Corey looking for his first victory as well. Question 10.
Really hard round, man.
The topic is hunting.
Makes me want to rub my eyes.
Ooh, hunting.
Which migration flyway harvests the most ducks and has the most hunters? Which migration flyway harvests the most ducks and has the most hunters? It has both of those distinctions.
Most duck hunters or most
It has the
hunters.
Most duck hunters, most duck hunters, and it harvests the most ducks.
Hmm.
Dan, you give up?
I think I was eliminated already.
You can keep playing.
Yeah, you can play if you want.
I mean,
Steve, how you feel about this?
I'm 90% sure that
wow.
I'm correct.
Most duck hunters and most ducks killed. Corey, how you feel about this?
Not good.
Yanni?
If I got it wrong, I know what was right.
Deese.
Corinne? Yeah. Okay. A lot of meh. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Mississippi. Corey saying Central.
He went Mississippi
Chester
and changed
saying
his
Central.
Mind.
Corinne saying Pacific. Seth saying Central. And Giannis saying Mississippi. The correct answer is Mississippi, making Giannis and Steve tied for first place.
Oh, I scribbled over it? Oh, shit. I think my pen just like...
Corey's pen got out of control, crossed out Mississippi, and wrote down Central. This is according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's 2021 waterfowl report. The Mississippi flyway is responsible for 4.4 million harvested ducks, which is 40% of all ducks harvested in America. It also has 380,000 hunters, which is 42% of America's duck hunters.
That's a good question.
We are going to overtime. Play the drop, Phil.
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all.
You're first, you're last. You can be second. You can be third, fourth. Hell, you can even be fifth.
We are down to Giannis and Steve. The topic for the tiebreaker question is conservation, and this will be a numerical question. Whoever is closest to the correct answer will be declared our winner. What year did the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service ban lead shot for waterfowl hunting nationwide? What year did the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service ban lead shot for waterfowl hunting nationwide? Steve wrote with such confidence that it's almost as though he knows the answer. Yanni has yet to come up with one. Steve, how much did you change your answer there? How many?
By one.
By 1 year. Okay.
Oh, jeez. I'll be close.
Yanni, you think you know
I
this?
I think I'm within a decade.
Okay. There you go. And Steve, how close do you think you are?
I'm within a year or
okay.
two. Wow. I'm within 2 years.
You guys both have your answer?
Oh, no. I want to change mine again. One sec.
Oh, man. Keeps hemming and hawing.
He's not going to change it.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying 1981 and Giannis saying 1988. One of you is within 3 years of the correct answer.
Me.
Does the room want to take a guess at who's right here?
Yanni.
Steve.
Well, because I started duck hunting. I started duck hunting in 86 and you couldn't use... And there's still people complaining about it.
The correct answer is 1991 yeah. making Giannis our winner. What year did the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service ban lead shot for waterfowl hunting nationwide?
Oh, nationwide.
Do you think this was just about Michigan?
Well, but when I started hunting at night, when I was in Michigan, and I started my first legal duck year was 86, and people were bitching about not being able to use lead.
Well, maybe it was a statewide thing.
Some of the states did it before the Fed did, though.
Oh, well, that...
Steve thought the question was just about Michigan.
Yanni! Can you hold up my hand like I just won the boxing match?
Yes, Yanni is our winner with 1988.
That was a good game. That was a good game. That was a tough round, a good game. Congratulations.
Did you lose some, did you lose some confidence?
Beat Shelby.
Did you lose some confidence, Yanni, on the 1988?
Did I lose confidence?
Yeah, like when Steve saw, when you saw Steve was 1981, were you like, oh, I'm way off?
No, like I said, I thought I'd be within a decade. And
man,
I was
bouncing all around, but I bounced from 83 to 82 to 81. I just kept getting worse.
1991. What happens next is Yanni gets to choose where a $500 donation goes. So what's it going to be, Yanni?
It's been so long since I've had a win. I can't remember who I like to support.
Congratulations, Yanni. Just to remind you, you're always all over the damn place.
For his donations?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you gave some to a kids organization once, to a bighorn sheep.
Yeah, the bighorn sheep that are fighting for their life over there in Vail, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give it to them again. Just as an update, well, I don't really have an update, but just so you all know, there's a little chunk of private land that Vail Resorts wants to develop and put employee housing on it. It just so happens to be that it's like the remnants of the winter range of the endemic bighorn sheep herd in the Gore Range, which is just north of Vail Resorts, where I used to live there in Eagle County. And it would be great if they didn't build their employee housing there.
So what needs to happen for that not to happen?
They just need to decide to, the town has already offered to buy the property from them, and they're trying to come up with some just insane astronomical amount, like, you know, so the town can't afford it.
Will your money go to?
There's a like a Vail Bighorn initiative or something like that, but just a group that's trying to kind of keep awareness alive and keep the fight going.
And they're using the money for marketing, or they're using the money to try to buy the land?
No, it's going to be definitely for marketing. Yeah,
and this fight has been going on for a while. We covered it back in April. Travis Hall wrote an article for us called "New Senate Bill Would Turn Public Lands into Housing Developments," and it's still something they're dealing with. Well done, Yanni. Good win. Good donation.
Congratulations, Yanni. It was a tough round, man.
Dan, thank you for joining us. Come back next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, I'm excited to share our newest sponsor here on the Meat Eater Podcast, which is Poncho Outdoors. The reason I'm excited is I buy their shirts anyways. Dude, they make some good shirts. And they even have an option where if you're like a skinny dude, you can click like the skinny dude thing. It's great. Based in Austin, Texas, Poncho is committed to crafting the world's best outdoor shirts for men. Poncho is only sold on their own website. So head over to ponchooutdoors.com. Use code MEATEATER for a free hat or t-shirt with any purchase of a shirt. Poncho offers free shipping and returns, so you can try them out risk-free. Telling you what, Decked is a game changer. Decked has completely changed how I load, organize my truck. All my stuff that I want is always in there, out of my way, and secure. It's perfect. If you own a pickup truck that you use, you know, like a truck, the Decked drawer system gives you weatherproof storage for all your gear. You can lock it up, too. You keep your tools and gear organized, job site or out in the field. Go to Decked.com/MeatEater to receive free shipping. Go to Decked.com/MeatEater and get yourself some free shipping.